Let's give God some praise. Come on now. I need to that I have to get low so that somebody else can go high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Humility. Yeah. You got to be willing to be humiliated. I only got one married man over here because you understand, if you are married, it will humble you. You understand what I'm saying? Marriage will humble you. Lord, you have to be willing to go low so that your spouse can be lifted up high. And if you both are doing that, then you're both lifted up. You're lifting one another up. And you have to be willing to be humiliated. Whatever you submit yourself to, you have to be willing to be humiliated. Come on, listen. Maybe I'm the only husband, but when I get all those Amazon boxes at work, I got to carry them home, and they got Area Lady A on the album. I know it's humbling. I'm not going to do that. It's humbling. If you're somebody who had children, if you're a parent and you submit yourself to being a parent, it's humbling. It's humbling because you have to be willing to humiliate yourself.
Yeah.
For the sake of the kids, don't nobody talk about my kids.
That's
I know
I'm
bad. But once you submit yourself to something, you have to be willing to humble yourself. And it may humiliate you. But I love it so much, mother, that I'm willing to be humiliated. Some of us have good jobs. Some of us have our own businesses. It's humbling, isn't it? How many business owners do I got in here? Everybody, look at this. Everybody, entrepreneurs. Isn't humbling you have to give up everything to take this large risk? And I can lose it all because I had an epiphany. And I can lose it all, and because I submitted myself to it, I'm willing to be humiliated. The thing that I submit myself to, I have to be willing to humiliate myself. This is why I love David, King David. We talked about it about 3 weeks ago. When King David had the presence of the Lord, that he was able to garner the Ark of the Covenant, he had the presence of the Lord, and the Bible says that he danced. He danced with the ephod, and some verses say he danced out of his clothes. He was willing to humble himself so that God could be lifted up high. And even if it means that he was humiliated, his wife thought he appeared like that he was embarrassing himself. But he didn't care. As long as God was lifted up, that's all that matters. He was willing to humble himself in the presence of the Lord. What are you willing to humble yourself? What are you humbling yourself with? Who are you humbling yourself to? Because whatever you submit yourself to,
that's it.
You're humbling yourself. Whatever you submit yourself to, you have to be willing to humble yourself. Gosh, I thank God for coming to rapture me, to rescue me, when I was out humiliating myself in this world. He came and saved me. Is there anybody in the house that knows how to be the best out in this world? But nowhere to go. But if there's a man that loves me and that came and rescued me, hallelujah, do I have anybody that has a witness to know the love of God that loved me out of some sin, that loved me out of some debt, that loved some cancer off me, that loved some diabetes off me, that loved some fear off me, and some anxiety and some depression?
Come on, Pastor.
Because, hallelujah, that he was willing, hallelujah, to suffer himself for me, humble himself for me. Feelings is not a bad thing. It's good. It's one of our senses. Feelings is necessary for survival. It is necessary for our survival to fail.
Right?
It is how we know if something is delightful or harmful. It's how we know when things are pleasure and pain. Right. How many of us desire pleasure more than pain? I prefer the pleasure more than the pain. But you can't have one without the other. Joy and pain. Sunshine and rain.
Hey!
Come on. I'm going to get you the thing. But understand, pain is also necessary. It's a part of the way you feel. I was doing some research, and they were talking about the process of understanding pain comes from a word, nociception. Right? It's the process of understanding how pain works. Right? And it goes through our sensory nervous system. And if you touch someone, you can get the stimuli, and it goes to one of our sensory cortex in our brain. Right? And in our brain, in that particular brain, so that means that pain is predicated on your brain. There's conditions where people are born without that working properly. And these individuals die before they meet the age of 25 because the danger is they bite off their fingers once they get to it. They can't feel pain. Pain is literally in your brain. Your threshold for pain is predicated in your brain. It's in your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how many of us have been in a situation where we were focused on our pain? We're that's all we focused on. We turned it down just a second. Where all we focused on was the pain. But don't you know that pain produces? If you learn to endure, the only way you're going to get fruit, baby, is if you get cut. The only way you're going to get more flowers is if you cut. If you learn to endure the pain, come on, then that's when you'll produce. It's in the times where we're suffering in our pain. It's just in your mind. Touch your neighbor and say, it's just in your mind. It's just in your mind. But it's during the times when we submit to our feelings. When we submit to our feelings. Hallelujah. When we give the enemy an opportunity to separate us from God. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's when we depend on our feelings.
Yeah.
It's when we give the enemy an opportunity to separate us from God. And it can be the enemy, it can be our demise, it can destroy us. Look at our cities, look at our community. Our communities need God. But our communities are separated from God because of the trauma. Come on, these communities are desperate for people being consistent in their lives. But the trauma and the desperation of men, husbands, men not being in those communities, people who are faithful, education not being in those communities. And these young people are growing up submitted to their feelings. And now that they're submitted to their, come on, the abandonment that's going on in their lives. There's no God. And now they've separated themselves, given the enemy license to separate them. Now they have no remorse. Now they're out killing each other. I think, I got to ask Kevin about this. But I think it's 68 right now, 68 homicides already in Baltimore City. 68 homicides. We're in March. I think just last weekend, I think when it snowed on Saturday, I think it was 20 shootings. You got 20 shootings on a Sunday. These individuals are living their lives on their feelings and no remorse. Did you hear the story? Elvin, did you hear the story? Where the Maryland guy, where he had a dispute with his ex-wife, and the ex-wife, apparently they were going back and forth with child custody battles for like 3 years. He goes on live Facebook you remember, he's on Facebook. And he's talking about how he's going through this dispute with his ex-wife for 3 years. And he's conveying that it's messing him up. And she's accusing him of touching them inappropriately. And he just found out that his new girlfriend that he's dealing with is pregnant. But instead of him being excited about it, he learns that she told him that she's going to do the same thing that the ex-wife's doing. And what he said on live TV, you can't play with people's emotions like that. Yeah. This man has submitted to his feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he confessed, I just shot her in the head. And he said, I can't believe it. This is what he said. He said, I can't believe it. I feel like I'm in a dream. I can't believe I just did that, but I can't go to jail. No remorse. I'm gonna do my ex-wife now. And just so happened, on live, she was walking out the door and he went to punch her. This is what leaning and depending on your feelings do. It separates you from God. Where you're leaning on your feelings and somebody might get killed because you're leaning on your feelings. This happens in the Bible. It happens in the Bible. Yes, in the Bible. David is on his balcony watching live images.
Listen.
When he's supposed to be out in war, working, getting that thing done, producing food, he's supposed to be getting it done as a man. He's at home watching graphics.
Help us.
And because he submitted to his feelings, right? He inquired about the young lady, Michelle. And the Bible says that the men said, look, dude, she's the child of so-and-so who's in your war. She's the wife of Uriah so-and-so in your war. This person is under your authority. And when you submit, you commit. It's like a lie. It's like when you tell a lie and somebody tries to fight you and you just stick with the lie. I may be on the wrong one as though I don't even know why. You submit to a thing, or you usually commit to it. Amen. And he's committed to his feelings and disregard all that information. It's as if they didn't say a word. He was so caught in his feelings that he bypassed it, had the woman, got her pregnant. Make a long story short, got somebody killed. This is what happens. This is what happens when you separate yourself from God. What separates me from God, Pastor Jeff? When I submit myself to my feelings and not his word.
That's good.
I give the enemy an opportunity to speak in my ear and say, God, look good. But if that belongs to somebody, it's okay. That's what he does. He speaks to you because now you're out of the realm of God's protection, and now you give the enemy free reign to talk to you. Is there anybody in the house? Is there anybody in the house that has thoughts? And you have no idea where did that thought come from? I'm telling you right now, get out your feelings. Don't depend on me, because the enemy will start getting a laundry list of things.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, whoa, where did that come from? Listen, I'm telling you right now, cast that thing down right now in the name of Jesus. Don't allow it to be. That is this is what happens when you get separated from God. You're isolated, and the enemy is ready to destroy you and everybody around you. This happens in the Bible. This happened with Adam and Eve.
Real.
God said, look, man, y'all can have everything, whatever y'all want. It's yours. You in my presence, you can have it all.
Yeah.
That one right there. That one there, that's not yours. But everything else is yours. I don't want to talk to you.
That's right. Good.
Over here. I just said that all this is yours, but that one is taken.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good, son.
That thing that you laid your eyes on, I know you're on it, but that ain't yours. God has preserved, custom built something for you.
Yeah.
That ain't yours.
Right.
That belongs to somebody else.
Right.
Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy get you in. And this is what happens. Adam and Eve are walking in the garden. And listen, perhaps they were in their feelings.
Yeah.
Maybe there was an argument. Maybe there was an argument. Perhaps they were in their feelings.
Wow.
Right? And why would you say that? That's because the Bible says the serpent began to talk. Jeez. Now listen.
Come on.
If a serpent tried to talk to my woman, ain't no way. Listen, I know the men that's in this house wouldn't let a serpent talk to your woman.
Come on, sir.
Yeah. Ain't no way in the world. Ain't no way in the world. Yeah. Oh, God, that just messed me up like that. The story would have been Adam. That's why Adam killed the first Adam. But perhaps they were in their feelings. They had to submit to their feelings. Perhaps. Because the Bible says that the serpent began to talk to Eve, put his stuff in her head. What he put in her head was something that God told them not to do. That's what the enemy does. He isolates. Listen, the enemy wants to divide you, husbands and wives. He wants to divide you, church. He wants to divide you from your word. He wants to divide you. And conquer.
Yeah.
If he can isolate you, you're no longer under the covering of God.
Yeah.
And now he's speaking these words, these images, these thoughts into your mind. Stuff that you did. And now you're beating yourself upside the head. Like, where did this come from? Don't submit yourself to those thoughts.
Yeah.
Don't submit yourself to the way that you feel.
Yeah. Gross,
because feelings are like the wind. They come and they go. They change. But the word will never pass away. And Adam and Eve, they fail. They eat from the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And Eve then gives the thing to her man. She passes the terror on. You got to understand, when you're depending on your feelings, it's contagious.
Yeah. Wow. That's
when you submit to your feelings, you've committed to the devil. And it's contagious. You don't only go through the demise on your own, you destroy everybody around you. That thing is contagious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't submit to your feelings. Submit to every word that he's giving you. Because when you listen to what I'm saying to you. When you submit to it, you are willing to be humiliated by it.
Come on!
That's good.
You're willing to lay it all off the line for that.
Yes, sir.
Because you submitted to a feeling. But I just feel like what does the Bible say? I just feel like I should do that and do this. But I just feel like
it.
If you submit yourself to that feeling, you are giving the enemy license to separate you from God.
And he would do all he can to send to Israel. He said, I come here and grow. Look at who I may divide. Stop playing with the enemy. Stop playing with him. Stop playing with him. Back in 2013, I got the opportunity to go into Ghana, Africa. I went to Ghana. Y'all must have all been. In 2013, I got the opportunity to go to Ghana, Africa.
Wow.
The motherland. Yes. Listen. And no offense, but man, everybody was black. It was great. But listen. I got clients in here, and these are some of my favorite people. When my wife and I just sat down on the plane, we just went to St. Louis. And literally, everybody was white. And we was like, man, everybody went around black too. Literally, everybody like, I called one of my buddies, his wife, and I said, bro, why am I? He said, are they gonna move there? And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's part of the soccer team. And we get out of his head. I'm like, that's my football team. That's my team. He said, we don't keep them all out. That's how it. So it was, everybody was black. I was like, yes, I'm in Africa. And as soon as I took off the plane, boom, everybody's like, welcome home, brother. I'm like, welcome home, I'm home. Yes, I'm home. I'm home, right? And so we welcome home. So we get in our car, and as we're in our car, we're riding. And I'm like, yes, and the driver's like, what's going on? I was like, I'm excited. I was so geeked. I'm excited. I'm home. And he was like, yes, you are. He said, Welcome home. Welcome back to Africa. And I said, man, this is like being in the hood. This is like being in the hood. I'm in the hood. And he's like, hood, look, what's the hood? He's like, what's the hood? And I brought the hood to like impoverished communities and more urban communities. He was like, okay, hood. I was like, yeah, man, I'm home. Yes, I can do this. I'm home. He said, good. He's laughing. Good. Good. Now, and all of a sudden, the drive got real rocky. And we start going up. And I'm like, what's going on? And I'm holding on. And I'm like, what's going on? He was just like, good. I said, oh, it ain't. The wrong is the wrong. There was no wrong. And anything about that, well, when I was there, if the services, the medical services, the emergency services are like ours, so if you get a flat tire out there, oh, you out there for like 24 hours. It ain't like you get somebody come out, get you. We got good, right? The wrong is just a good. But while I'm there, I'm not home. I'm arrogant, and I didn't know I was. I was just being me. I was being arrogant. And while I'm there, with the car, nobody there could drive. Who could have thought? Mother, nobody there could drive. Nobody. I mean, the cars are bumping into each other, literally. They're colliding, bumping each other, and I'm going down the road, and I'm like, man, and the guy looks at me. Right? And I'm going off, and this happens over and over and over. I'm in my feelings, and it's going over and over and over. And one guy steps on my shoes, and I'm mad. And I mean, I'm literally almost got to flesh fight him. Really? Like, you stepped on my shoe. You stepped on my joints. Right? And we finally get to the this location gets released. I was there for my 11 days. And this was near the end. And one of our hosts said, "Brother Jeff, are you a believer?" And I said, "Absolutely. Believer in Jesus Christ? Absolutely." He said, And I said, "What you mean?" I said, "Very interesting. I noticed that you put more stock in business than your friends. I noticed you would do pretty very easily in your business." So I said, "What you mean?" He said, "Well, the car. You got mad about the car." He says, "It's a car."
Boy, come on.
That's your mother. See, in America, you kill each other over a pair of sneakers. And that's a car. You gonna get a new sneaker? Aren't you gonna get a new sneaker, brother Jeff? I said, "Yeah." He said, "Aren't you gonna get another car?" I said, "I am." He says, "So why don't you love your mother? Why do you care about the small things? Don't you care about your husband? Don't you care about your wife? Don't you care about your kids? Don't you care about your mother? Don't you care about your sister?" We're leading by our feelings, and our feelings are separating us from the presence of God. We're separated and destroying the things that we so love. I don't know what I'm talking about. But you need to get it right with your mom. I don't know what I'm talking about. But get it right with your mom. That's your mother. Get it right with your father. Get it right with your kids. Stop submitting yourself to your feelings. Because it's taking you from the presence of God, and it's destroying you and everybody around you. So what do we do? Somebody, fellas, give me that. Do me a favor. Give me that. Do me a favor. You got your own, do me a favor. Go to James chapter 4, verse 7. What do we do? What do we do? Because we are a people that are constantly in our feelings. We're killing people. We're killing relationships. We're killing marriages. Because we're in our, come on church, because we're in our
feelings.
Because we've submitted ourselves into our feelings. In the book of James, I am not going to exegete, I'm not going to illuminate. This is a text that I'm going to be preaching next Sunday. I'm just going to end with it. Verse 7 and verse 10. What does James verse 7 say?
Submit yourselves.
Submit.
Then to God. Resist the devil.
Stop.
Come on.
Submit to God and resist the devil. Resist it. Resist. I know you feel like giving him a piece of your mind. He did you wrong. You should tell him how you feel. I know you'll feel better if you just told him what you really want to tell him. Will you feel better? I will. But that's not what God is saying. He's saying, submit to me, which means submit to my word.
Come on.
Submit to my commands. Submit to my word. Submit means to yield to that authority. Make it your authority.
Come on.
Not your feelings. Be ruled by his word, not your feelings. Because your feelings don't forgive. Only Jesus Christ has the power to forgive. What does verse 10 say?
Humble yourself.
Stop! If I humble, that means that I go low. So that the word of God can be lifted up high. Even if I'm humiliated, elder, even if it makes me look like a fool, I'm willing to humble myself under the presence of the Lord, that he may be lifted up high. Because what will he do? Because what will he do?
It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Because he will lift you. If we humble ourselves, if we get low, he lifts us up. He lifts us up high.
Yeah.
But if we try to be indignant and use our feelings, then we put ourselves in a position to be destroyed.
Yeah.
And we destroy everything that is around us. Okay. Do not submit yourself to your feelings. Those feelings are up and down like the wind and the wave. God never changes. Touch your neighbor and say, God never changes.
God never changes.
He never changes. Imagine this for me. I'm closing. Did everybody get the word? Do I need to bring the kids up? Do I need to bring the kid up and get it? Y'all was over here talking y'all on your hot man. Did y'all hear what I said there? Y'all get the word? Say it. Just say it. Submit to God and not your feelings. Humble yourself to God and he will exalt you. Amen? Imagine. That feels so good. Listen, the word felt good to me. I bet. Imagine Jesus Christ made his decisions based on his feelings. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Jesus Christ telling the Pharisees what he really wanted to tell them? Can you imagine if when Jesus was at Gethsemane, when he was in agony and thoughts were going through his mind, when he was going through agonizing pain, could you imagine if he would have succumbed to the way he felt? But he doesn't. He says, Father, let it be your will. Submit to God. Can you imagine when Jesus was on that cross? When he was on the cross for you. Can you imagine the same people that were screaming, Hosanna! And then 3 days later, crucify him. Can you imagine the way that made him feel?
Right.
And I know you and your feelings. Imagine him. When he submitted himself as the word of God, he sacrificed his life so that you can live. He submitted his life so that you could live. He humbled his life so that you could be lifted up. Stand to your feet. Your feelings are real. They are. Now, I love it when I like to satisfy my feelings. I do. But if my decisions separate me from what God is telling me to do, don't do it.
Absolutely.
Humble yourself to His word. Submit yourself to Him. He will lift you up. You don't want to be separated from God because of your feelings.
Yeah.
The separation from Him might cost you your life. Do you hear me, church?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it with authority again. It may cost you your life, your marriage, your relationship with your children, your mind. Raise your hand with me. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this word. We submit ourselves to you. There is none other. You are our God. And we love you. We ask that you would take our submission into your hands and your heart, and you will humble us. We are willing to be humiliated for you. That's the way we're going to save the city, this state, this country, this world, because we're willing to be sold out for you. We thank you for this word. We ask that you increase our faith so that we don't depend on our feelings. We glorify your name, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this moment, that was the word. I want you to go into your hearts. I want you to go into your hearts. And this moment, it's time to give to the Lord. It's time to give to the Lord. Go into reaches your heart, not in your pocket. I don't care about your gifts. I care about your obedience. And it has to be your heart space. What is God putting on your heart to give? Give that. And you have to know that God will give good measure. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. I love God so much that I know that when He gives more than enough. Do I have a witness?
Yes.
God gives more. He never gives just enough.
No.
I'm able to give to my neighbor. Some of y'all need to start giving to some of my neighbor. You got way more stuff. And this moment, if you're watching us online and you want to give from your heart, that's the way the Lord accepts it. He accepts cheerful giving. So give from your heart. You can text to give at GiveReal at 73256. GiveReal. If you're not going to give real, don't give it all. GiveReal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. GiveReal to 73256 and give what God puts on your heart. Also, you go to our website. It's still under construction. But go there and give there at IsraelLife.com. That's IsraelIfe.com. Amen. If you're in the house, after we give here and pray, I'm going to give opportunities for those who needs a touch. I'm also going to give you some homework. You already know that. Because we're an application church. I almost named the application. Application church. Okay. Okay. That's all right. That's all right. I need one of those black buttons. When you have given to the Lord, I just want you to raise it up as worship. I want to pray. Father, you've been so, so good. You've been better than I have been to my own self. And you know you have, and I know it. But when you take this offering, this tithe, whatever source in which that I give, as a token of my appreciation and love for you, Not just that, but just because you're worthy of it. And I want to honor you. I ask that you would receive it, accept it, and do with it what you want. I trust that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what I can imagine. I love you. Thank you for being able to give. It's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As you guys pass those who have envelopes, as you pass those in, I want to give you homework. Last week we had four things of homework, and I already heard how much it's blessed people. And then the first piece of homework was write down 10 things that you're grateful for. By a show of clapping of your hands. Has that been working for folks? The second thing was write down three names to forgive. Forgiveness is what we're about, y'all. You don't forgive them, God won't forgive them. You got to. You think you forgive them, you got to forgive them. Has that blessed anybody? Clap your hands. I asked, the third one I asked, find somebody that would be willing to pray for you. Everybody needs to have somebody that got their back. Isn't it amazing that God doesn't put eyes on the back of our head? That's because you can't see back there, does it? That means you need somebody to have your back. Did everybody find somebody that would be willing to pray for them, that would be willing to intercede for them? By a show of hands. Is there anybody in the room that does not have somebody that is interceding for them, that got their back? By a show of hands. I need for us to find you. If you haven't found one, find you an intercessor that's praying for you. Because somebody needs to have you. And guess what? We got you. But you need that one. And the last thing was at least 60 minutes a week. Yeah, that's easy. No, that's 10 minutes. Come on. That's like 8 minutes. I don't got my math. It's like 8 minutes or something. 60 minutes a week, make sure you exercise. Because I'm taking this church outside. And we're going to hit those streets. And we're going to share the love of Jesus Christ in those streets. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to continue to do that work daily. That should be something you do every day. Those practices. This is something I want to add on to you. When you find yourself in a situation, in an argument, in a dispute, how many of us have ever been in a situation where we're excited to be with our significant other, our spouse, our girlfriend, our boyfriend, and we're excited and we're ready to go out? And for whatever reason, as you're in your car on your way out, somebody say something or somebody didn't say something.
They get their feelings.
Okay, that only happens to you. It only happens to you. If that happens to you, and you find yourself in a debate, a dispute, an argument, something that's throwing off your day, tell that person in the mid, I'm giving you power right now. You tell them in mid-debate argument, you say, you know what, I love you. Even if you don't feel it, you can't go off the way you feel. Don't submit to your feelings. Just say, I love you. I do that with my wife all the time. We get into it. And in the middle of it, I say, honey, do you love me? And she said, yeah. It works. I want to empower you. Because that's how you defeat your feelings. Start speaking to yourself regardless of the way you feel. I want to just say this last thing because I don't want to go back to the preach. But sometimes we wake up in the morning and we feel maybe we feel lazy or depressed. Learn to talk to yourself.
Yeah.
Because you can change the nature of your body. You command your body in the name of Jesus. When you are coming to not for your feelings,
yes,
wants to be.
That's real.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray that those words have blessed you. If there's one at this moment, I'm going to call. If there's anybody in the house that's a first time guest, just raise your hand. What's up? Bless you. I hope you guys learned something today. If you didn't learn anything, you like the James. You like the James? That's fine. Is there anybody that wants to make this place their home? Come on up. Get your that is that they're getting fed. They see the love. They see the genuineness. They see the power. They see the application. I've heard it in this company all the time. Is this the only one that wants to know today? Is there anybody that needs prayer? At this moment, as you get prayer, I will pray before we pray for everybody.